What really happened here in De La Salle?
Well, our investigation is somewhat completed, but not necessarily, when I say that, is it completed. We're getting information and probably receive more information as time progresses from people that are concerned. I got one call this morning and actually an email also from a parent that indicated that this has been going on for a period of time, that her son actually had been a victim. And she provided information that will again be looked at as far as continuing our investigation as we speak.
Well, we heard about hazing, but I don't know what that means. What did they do?
Well, hazing's been around for a long time in colleges and high schools and even middle schools. But it's really threatening someone, putting fear into someone. And hazing runs the gamut from sexual assaults all the way to just probing and prodding and things of that sort.
But what happened here, though, at De La Salle, though?
Well, let me just say that today we're submitting to the prosecutor's office a warrant request on an 18-year-old and petitions on two 16-year-olds. But there's a total of 87 players on the Warren football team. We've interviewed a total of 69 of those students and also interviewed six of the faculty, including the coach.
You interviewed a number of people at De La Salle, though. But we want to know, though, so some of the parents, I'll tell you what I've been hearing from parents that are saying that this is not physically assaulting. This is horseplay. Is this horseplay?
They had a ritual that every Thursday night there was a dinner at De La Salle for all the football players. After the dinner is when the hazing took place. There was a lot of fear that from students, from the football players themselves, that they would be a victim of the hazing. So they immediately got out of the, after the dinner, the locker room and left. But it was always that Thursday prior to the game, after the dinner, that the hazing took place, according to the investigators that conducted all of the interviews with the football players and others.
Every Thursday?
Every Thursday prior to a game on a Friday.
And what would take place then?
Well, you know, that's the problem we have, is we're not getting a real all of the story from the players. They're giving us bits and pieces. The majority are indicating they've seen nothing. And the coach indicated that he was not aware of any hazing taking place.
We're hearing there's a broomstick involved. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not going to go into details other than, and I've gone on record saying that it wasn't penetration, but they did, you know, hold the victim down and use a broomstick.
And only one victim?
At this time, there's only one victim. We believe there's many victims. However, we're not getting cooperation from, I don't think, the players themselves because of fear. And we're not getting complete cooperation from 15 parents that refuse to allow their sons to be interviewed by the detectives here from the Warren Police Department, which is somewhat disturbing. I mean, I think based on what we're seeing now and what information is coming in because of the media reports that this investigation could be far from complete. However, you know, we've done our due diligence. We've done our investigation. If there are people out there that want to report and give us the information, it will be considered an open investigation.
How hurt is the victim that that you have?
Oh, I can't comment on that.
Physically,
the victim's okay. Emotionally, I think that's, I wouldn't comment on that either. It's just some, you know.
How old is the victim?
16.
What do you, well, I guess it's how frustrating is it, but there could be more charges then, I'm assuming.
Well, at this point, we've concluded our investigation as far as the three individuals, the 17-year-old, and the two 16-year-old. However,
18-year-old, right?
18-year-old, but he was 17 at the time.
Oh.
This type of hazing is somewhat of a common practice, but it includes, you know, isolation, even sometimes sexual acts. And a study that I looked at recently, that 9 out of 10 college students and 8 out of 10 high school students experienced hazing, but did not actually consider themselves to be hazed. This demonstrates a discrepancy between students experiencing hazing. Some students consider hazing an expected ritual of passage. Some are willing to endure the torture because they feel it is necessary to be accepted as part of a group. Parents can help. Parents are excited about children pursuing sportish activities, first of all, but the risk of hazing raises considerable safety concerns that cannot be ignored. So I indicate that they should talk to their teen about hazing and its possible dangers so that he or she can be more proactive about maintaining his or her safety. Encourage your teen to research the organization.
So let me ask you this. Is there any culpability or problem here with the coach or the staff at De La Salle?
Well, first of all, yeah, it's their responsibility. I do know that they have a hazing policy, which is in writing, which is good, but there still is a responsibility as far as any hazing that takes place at any school, and it is the responsibility, you know, of the school administrator and the coaches.
These coaches knew about this ritual on Thursday night, didn't they?
We can't prove that, so I'm not going to go there.
What else do you want to say, Commissioner?
Well, again, hazing, for those that aren't aware of it, hazing is an action that is taken in any situation, creating intentionally, that causes embarrassment, harassment, ridicule, and the risks, emotional and or physical harm to members of the group or team.
Did the coach get fired?
Not as of yet.
And the kids are suspended. Do you know anything about that?
The kids have been suspended from the date that the incident was reported, and that would have been, I believe, on October 28th when the school intervened. When this all happened, the incident occurred again on October 10th. It was reported by a parent who called the school on October 25th. The school started the interviews on October 28th, and then we were notified on Thursday, the 31st of October, and immediately started our investigation, assigning a sergeant and four detectives to the case.
Well, were you at a disadvantage? Because when you finally got the word, I mean, a couple of weeks had already passed.
Yeah, this whole investigation could have been expedited if the school would have notified us immediately rather than trying to in-house handle the situation, and that's what happened. I'm not critical of what De La Salle did as far as the administrators. They have cooperated fully after they turned over the information to us, but there were, in my opinion, some mistakes made.
By De La Salle?
By De La Salle. I think if we would have got the information immediately, we would have probably gleaned a lot more information than we have today.
Do you think there's a cover-up going on with the De La Salle administration?
Well, I'm not going to comment on that. I sent a letter to the school president indicating that we appreciate their cooperation, and so we'll just move forward. We'll present our request to the prosecutor office today and see where it goes, and I encourage people, if they do have information, to contact my office at area code 586-574-4800.
And this thing could take weeks before the prosecutor could come up with charging.
Yeah, after today, unless we get any new information, we've completed our investigation. Now it's in the hands of Macomb County Prosecutor Eric Smith.
And what charges are you looking at, just real quick?
Assault charges.
Misdemeanor, felony?
We made recommendations for various assault charges, but the final determination obviously is made by the prosecutor.
Commissioner Bill Dwyer, thank you.